Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Hello and welcome aboard Gallant and George on Thursday, October 17th, 2024. I am Paul Gallant, no Joe George. He is up in Chicago. We do have Sean Mapes here hanging out. Samurai Sean with the top knot. I like it. Is it appropriation? Honestly, I can't say. I just like the top knot, buddy boy.
I was playing buddy boy.
Working out new things, man.
That's all right. I was pulling a Paul Gallant last night, actually.
Oh.
Playing a little bit of Civilization 6.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Playing some video games, and you wake up the next day. Next thing you know, you were playing as Japan, and you are still Japan.
Yes, I actually was playing as Japan.
There we go. Got to play as them. I, last night, continued my journey into adulthood because not only am I a condo owner, and on top of that, part of an HOA.
Ooh.
I just joined a rodeo committee last night.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So went out, had some fun, Poultry Action Committee, great people, had a great time. And a little hungover this morning. So this might be fun.
I like how we put our cards on the table 3 minutes into the show.
It could be a fun show. Okay. I'm just being as honest normally am. Buckle up. We're going to go in some weird places. I'm very excited for Sunday's game at Lambeau Field, Texans-Packers. And the key to this game is, I know this is going to sound lame, like I'm a NFL coach telling it to you, but turnovers. It's the name of the game. And CJ Stroud's going to have to wrap it up. He's going to have to be careful. He's going to have to use protection. He had 6 turnovers all of last year. Did you know he already has 4 this year? 5 interceptions and a fumble lost last season. 4 interceptions this year. He did fumble. It was not recovered by the opposition. This is a little concerning because Stroud, we thought of last year as being very, very exceptionally good at protecting the football, going up against the Packers team on Sunday that is +9 in the NFL in takeaways. 17 total taken away this year. 9 interceptions, 8 fumbles. The highest in the NFL by about, I think, 3-4 takeaways. So this is the key to Sunday. Is CJ Stroud and this Houston Texans offense going to be able to wrap it up? This is a line I think of very often. It's an iconic line in cinema from the Andy Samberg movie, Hot Rod. Now, my dad always told me, Paul, you got to be smart. You got to protect yourself. You got to make sure that whenever you go out to hang out with that special someone, that you're ready to go like Joe Bluth here in the movie Hot Rod.
Julio. Hey, maybe I'll get a box of dong bags so we can knock boots later. What do you think?
I think that that's what C.J. Stroud needs to be doing on the football field. A metaphorical box of dong bags to prevent the Green Bay Packers from taking the football away. An admission, I used to have this Mondo wallet. I think I had every single credit card that I owned in it. And on top of that, I occasionally had cash. But then I stopped carrying cash around because I always felt guilty when the homeless asked me for cash. But there was one thing I always kept in it. In fact, I kept two things in it because you never know when you're going to need them. I had a condom. I had two condoms in this wallet. I had one on the top, one on the bottom. These condoms were in this wallet for such a long period of time that eventually the wallet developed rings on it. And I remember one time, because this wallet was so big, I put it out on the table and my friends all saw it. So now, for the last 10 years, my friends have been giving me endless grief because of Paul's gay condoms. That's literally what they called them. In my wallet, with the rings that were on it. Now I have upgraded in wallet game. Now I have one of those little small ones and stuff. But this is what CJ Stroud needs to do. He needs himself a big old wallet with a bag or two in there to make sure that nothing potentially spills. He's got to be careful.
No mistakes.
No mistakes.
No happy accidents.
No Jon Snows, right? We don't want any bastards out there. We don't want any of the other things that happen when you don't protect yourself.
No.
C.J. Stroud's got to be careful in this game. C.J. Stroud was actually asked about the Packers' defense and their ability to take the football away yesterday.
I definitely know that this game I got to be very smart with the football and just, you know, take my shots when up front, they play really well, and their backers are really solid. Really just, you know, understand that, you know, like, this team is known to keep, you know, their defense. Their defense kind of keeps their team in the game by getting turnovers. And they do a great job of that, you know, especially on the back end. Got some really good DBs, and up front, they play really well, and their backers are really solid. So, you know, another great challenge for me to try to be better with. You know, I feel like I've been kind of like a little sloppy, turn the ball over a little bit, but sometimes the ball doesn't roll your way, you know, but you got to take those shots and you got to, you know, be aggressive to, you know, see what you can get away with and what you can't. So I don't regret any of the decisions I made, but I definitely know that, like, you know, you're putting yourself at risk. So I definitely know that this game I got to be very smart with the football and just, you know, take my shots when they come. But, you know, if they don't come, then, you know, just being smart with the football.
I'm glad he admitted that he hasn't been his best because he hasn't. He has turned the football over a lot more than what we saw last year, and his ability to put the ball anywhere with the way that he throws it is, I think, his most impressive trait. But there have been a couple of mistakes that have happened, and you've wondered, what was that? And think about this. I mean, there was an interception in, was it the Bears game, that looked like an interception, but the guy's heel hit the sideline after his toe had tapped in, and this was on a pass that Stroud was trying to throw away. He's had a couple of near misses on balls that he's just been throwing away. He has been sloppy compared to where he was last year. And as the Texans and Packers both knock on the door of being considered among the NFL's best teams, Stroud is going to need to wrap it up. Put on that raincoat, okay? I don't know how people learned how to put that raincoat on. I don't know if he needs a banana or something like that, but you take a look at these Packers on Sunday. He's going to need to protect the ball.
So would you be putting it over the football?
Yeah.
Okay.
You could do that. You could put it over the microphone. I don't know how many people have seen some of the hurricane coverage we've had this year, but media trick, you learned this at the SI Newhouse School of Public Communications. If you're out in the field and you have a microphone, and you want to keep that thing from getting wet, mm-hmm. Put a condom over it. Not even kidding. They taught us this. This is why Syracuse is the best journalism school that there is. And me as a proud BJ major, broadcast journalism at Syracuse, I know a thing or two.
Did all the other people in your class go, what are condoms?
Probably.
Where do you buy them? the Bob Costas of your class.
It's a great point, Sean. You know, a sidebar. It does seem like very few people use them, or at least with the way that they talk about them. Am I a weirdo? In fact, am I perhaps a virgin because I've never, ever, ever done it without using one of those things because I have such trust issues? I don't know. These are the big questions that people need to answer for me.
Call, text in.
Call or text in. But we want to keep this to the Houston Texans. They can't turn the football over, okay? We don't want none of those diseases. We don't want none of those children's, you know? Happy surprises, happy accidents.
Come on.
It's a little bit different than what Bob Ross happy accident, okay?
Those are fun.
It's a blessing to have children. It's not in a $1 million burning of money. It is Gallant and George, no Joe, just Paul. 713-780-3776 to call it, to text it. You can join on Twitch at ESPN 975. You can join on YouTube at ESPN Houston. We also heard from D'Amico Ryans, head coach of the Houston Texans, talking about the Packers' ability to take the football away. He says it all starts with their defensive coordinator.
I think the Packers have been good at taking the football away, starting with their defensive coordinator. Change and Jeff Hafley coming over, and I know his emphasis, you know, from being with them, you know, his emphasis always on the ball, creating negative plays. That's what he truly believes in, and you see, you know, his imprint on his defense instantly. He got really good players, McKinney, Alexander, guys. They attack the football the right way, and that's helped them win football games. And the ball is the most important thing. Like, you can take it away and give the offense a short field, like, it really helps you win games and helps you be successful. So that defense is thriving in a turnover market. They're leading the NFL in turnovers. And for us, we have to do a great job being conscious of protecting the ball at all costs.
Got to protect the ball. Got to protect yourself. Whether it's wearing Kevlar out and about, because you never know what's going to go down these days. Times are tough. Times are crazy. Or just making sure that you are protected when the moment's right. Texans are going to have to do that Sunday against the Green Bay Packers. I did get a text, 713-780-3776 from the 832. This man is horny AF today, apparently. No, I'm just talking about protecting myself. And you should be thinking about protecting yourself, and C.J. Stroud needs to protect himself too. From the 832, offense is cool and all, but defense wins championships. What do you guys think about the Texans' defense? Well, honestly, they could use a few more takeaways this season. I mean, Sunday against the Patriots, I believe over half of their takeaways came in that game. They had 4. 2 recovered fumbles, 2 interceptions. They're not really doing much on that front. I will say, Jordan Love does give you plenty of opportunities. He is a gunslinger. But just given the state of the Texans secondary, where it looks like Jimmy Ward's out and Kamari Lassiter's out, another game of D'Angelo Ross, this time going up against a much better quarterback with much better wide receivers. Is he going to look the same as it did this past Sunday against New England? I don't know. I'm a little bit skeptical about that. But yeah, this game is more about offense versus offense. This game is more about C.J. Stroud versus Jordan Love. Anyway, up next, speaking of Jordan Love, as we compare these two quarterbacks, there's something Jordan Love has that C.J. Stroud doesn't. And man, I think this actually might be the trump card in a Love versus Stroud argument. Stick around, Gallant and George. No Joe, just Paul. Sean behind the glass, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Loot and Raid rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5
from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul and Joe.
Yesterday, we compared C.J. Stroud's statistics to Jordan Love's statistics, the two quarterbacks who are going to be doing battle in Texans-Packers on Sunday. And honestly, I don't think that I did that segment the best way that I could. And for that, I fall on the sword. It's on me. I have to be better. Because Jordan Love's won this argument. C.J. Stroud, he hasn't won an Offensive Player of the Week award in 2024. Meanwhile, not only is Jordan Love the FedEx Aaron Ground Player of the Week, the reigning one, he's got another award. It's called the MVP.
Yo, what's up, Nickelodeon? Jordan Love here. I'm honored and blessed to be able to win this MVP for this week. And, you know, shout out to all my teammates for helping me win this bad boy and securing the dub last week. But thank you guys for this sick bling. Shout out to all the kids watching Nickelodeon. Love you guys.
Jordan Love hasn't just won one MVP. He's won two. CJ Stroud, he's got some catching up to do. He does. I think this is something that Stroud's going to be thinking back about the rest of his career. How do I get the Nickelodeon Valuable Player Award? It's going to take more touchdown passes than he's thrown. I mean, Jordan Love has played in four games. He has 12. CJ Stroud, just 10. It is interesting just thinking about these two quarterbacks, and there is a part of me that wonders after the game what their interaction is going to be. I saw this recently. I think I saw it on Wednesday after the show. So yesterday after the show. The moment where CJ Stroud once again went over to a young quarterback to give him advice was actually caught on mic. So here's second year quarterback CJ Stroud, who did this to Caleb Williams already this year. Here he is doing it to Drake May, giving rookie quarterbacks advice, even though he's maybe 1 year older than these guys.
I respect you, bro. Really solid, man. Learn from the mistakes. Keep going, bro. Got it. You know what I said to you. You know, yeah. Keep going, bro.
Learn from your mistakes. Keep going, bro. I want him to do that to Jordan Love so bad after the game. Love is older than him. But, I mean, they probably have a similar amount of games played, right, as far as starts go? Because Stroud started last year, what, 14 games? I'm guessing yeah. Jordan Love missed some games last year due to injury. Could be wrong on that. I know he's missed some games this year due to injury. They probably have close. A similar amount of games started.
Yeah, last year was both their first year as starters.
Yeah.
It's just Jordan Love sat for, like, what, three?
Mm-hmm.
2020, 21, 22, yeah. Sat for 3 years.
Guess who didn't have to sit? C.J. Stroud.
Pro ready.
Pro ready, right.
He's so ready, he's already ready to give advice to other guys.
I love it. Some people think that, hey, he shouldn't be doing that. No, I like it. That's how confident he is. He thinks that he has words of wisdom for every quarterback.
And at this point, just keep it up. Like, it's just so funny that he does it.
I know.
They play Jared Goff when they play the Lions. Oh, hey, keep your head up.
Hell yeah. That,
learn from these mistakes.
I hope he does it to Mahomes and to Lamar Jackson. I know he won't. Because he probably has a lot of respect and he'll ask them questions. But I so badly want C.J. Stroud to do it to
that's
them.
That's actually a good point, that there is a hierarchy for who gets to, like, talk first and, like, who gets to lead the conversation. I guess it's whoever wins, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, if, like, yeah, to, like, there is a hierarchy to
for
it,
sure.
though. Where, like, if they play Joe Flacco and the Colts next week, they probably won't, but we'll see. Maybe Anthony Richardson gets hurt again.
It does seem like Richardson's going to be back.
Maybe he gets hurt again. Who knows? But when he walks out to midfield, who gets to talk first there? Because CJ's better, I think.
Right.
Flacco has been around for 20 years.
Flacco does have the Super Bowl victory. So
that too.
I bet there will be deference towards Flacco. What I want to know, going back to that Texans Sunday, that Texans game 2 Sundays ago against the Bills, I want to know what the Josh Allen post-game interaction was. I was so focused on Stephon Diggs.
Oh. Yeah.
And if he would go shake hands with Josh Allen. I actually don't know what happened, and I didn't see any interaction between the two.
With Stroud.
With Stroud, correct. Yeah. But Allen was so effing bad in that game. I mean,
he revokes his right to go, hey, you're a menace in this league.
Right.
Keep going. Stay healthy.
I mean, Allen is on a hierarchy above C.J. Stroud.
Yes.
But he played so poorly in that game and was concussed. Do you think C.J. Stroud went over to him? And potentially said, hey, hang in there. Hang in
Josh
there.
Allen walked over to Davis Mills. Man, you're awesome today.
That's true. Although that would have been for last week because Davis Mills actually played. So it's C.J. Stroud versus Jordan Love on Sunday in Texans-Packers. Now, some interesting news for the Green Bay Packers. Remember Brandon McManus, kicker for the Jacksonville Jaguars? McManus was cut from the Jaguars this offseason, and two women sued McManus and the Jaguars, alleging that McManus sexually assaulted them during the team's overseas flight to London. The two women accused McManus of rubbing himself against them and grinding against them. They also accused the Jaguars of failing to supervise McManus and failing to create a safe environment for staff serving the team. Tony Busby represented these two Jane Does. He was with the Jaguars last year. He signed a contract with the Commanders this offseason, and the Commanders were the ones who released him. So now the Green Bay Packers have signed Brandon McManus because I guess the lawsuit those two Jane Does filed against him and the Jaguars has been resolved. Confirmed by Tony Busby. So now the Packers immediately signed him. It makes sense. I mean, he's a good kicker. McManus is 37 of 39 on kicks between 40 and 49 yards. And he has made less than 80% of his kicks in a season just twice since 2017. He's a pretty good kicker. And the Packers' current kicker, Braden Narveson, has four misses from 40 to 49 the last six games. But they are bringing in a kicker who's got character issues. First, we heard yesterday from Packers GM Brian Gutekunst talking about the decision to sign McManus.
About a really good conversation with Brandon, you know, last night, obviously in his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, as we kind of, you know, last week when these things got cleared up within the league, and kind of got, he got past some other things, you know, those conversations kind of picked up and wanted to make sure that we did our due diligence. Again, we feel really good about that, where we sit right now, and we're excited to get him out there.
What do you like about him as a kicker?
Yeah, obviously very experienced kicker.
You got to be asking tougher questions, Green Bay media, than that. You got to be asking tougher than that. Oh, that's it? Come on. It's a kicker. Who's going to get mad if you ask the GM about signing a kicker who legitimately yesterday, when he was signed, had just resolved a lawsuit against him for sexual assault? It's a kicker. You're not going to ask tougher questions?
Yeah.
This isn't the Brown situation with Kevin Stefanski and Deshaun Watson. This isn't that. This is a kicker. It's weird to, I guess, bend over backwards and put morals to the side, of all things, to sign an effing kicker.
Yeah, I mean, you saw this with the
Giants? Was it Josh Brown or something like that back in the day?
Oh, what was his name? It was Brown. It was something Brown. And you saw it with the Bills with Matt Araiza, the punter, where he had allegations against him. I think they actually like proved that it was like fabricated. Like he wasn't at the party where like some really bad stuff went down, and he still just wasn't signed for a full year because no one wants to have the press conference with we signed the guy who was alleged to do all these things,
especially when they're a kicker. The kicker or the punter shouldn't be that distraction. It was Josh Brown who admitted to a pattern of verbal and physical abuse against his wife in a series of journal entries, emails, and a letter to his friends. What? You sent a letter to your friends? That's bizarre. Really bizarre.
And the Giants like protected him for like for a while. Like they knew about it and just like didn't, like they tried to bury it.
Right, exactly. The Packers, clearly they're moving on. McManus was asked by a Green Bay reporter, Milwaukee reporter, Wisconsin area reporter, about getting another chance after sexual assault and harassment allegations.
Thought you deserved another chance in the league?
It's been a difficult time this past couple months, and, you know, I'm happy that it's in the past now. I was hoping and working hard for another opportunity, and I'm extremely grateful for the Green Bay Packers for giving me that next chance to come back out here and play the game I love. You know, I was fortunate to play it for 11 years, and you know, this being my 12th year, just extremely happy to be here, and excited to be around the locker room again.
If something is settled like this, should it be in the past? McManus is happy it's in the past. And let's be honest, people are going to forget about this fairly soon because it is a kicker. This isn't Deshaun Watson and his situation, you know? With also on top of that, Watson playing so poorly for the Browns. This is a situation where he is somebody who is rather replaceable, just given the nature of that position. And I guess we just all move on now. That's at least how he is looking at it. Green Bay Packers, bad guys? Question mark. It's a question worth asking. Yeah.
Looking the other way. And I do think there is something with the media there where I wouldn't be surprised. And I don't know. I'm just judging off these clips. I wouldn't be surprised if there is a little bit of you see it in like college football, college basketball towns with the media where the Packers are the biggest show in Green Bay by a lot. It's actually probably the only reason most Americans know about Green Bay, Wisconsin is because of the Packers. I wonder if there is some element of, you know, like when you go to Tuscaloosa and how they're not going to hold the coach's feet to the fire with certain stuff. And, you know, you saw it with Syracuse and Jim Boeheim and stuff like that, where at a certain point you just, the institution is so big, like you can't actually, like to get the access, you can't actually go full court press on these guys.
And this is an interesting organization because you could sort of, who's the owner? They're essentially.
You can just pass the buck around.
Exactly. It's the People's Republic of Green Bay. The fans own the team, right? Now, there is a chairman, and I'm sure that he has more power than everybody because this is how communism typically works. But the Packers are a communist organization, they're not capitalists. Right. I mean, you know, everyone has a stock. Well, do they really, you know, it's one of those kind of situations. They're hiring derelict kickers. Right. Mm-hmm. Is that the correct word? Maybe let's just say people that are a black eye on society. Brandon McManus, he's one of them. OK. And on top of that, they're sacrilegious. You see what they're doing? You see what they're doing? They're doing something that's just like the Texans swarm. For those who don't know, Texans swarm. That stands for a special work ethic and relentless mindset. The Packers are doing something else for their defense. They made up a Bible verse. It's called Campy 3:16. It's named after new linebackers coach Anthony Campanile. What does it mean? God loves those who run to the ball. Communist organization being sacrilegious. What an effing surprise.
Rewriting the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Not cool. Only cool if a man from Texas does it, like Stone Cold Steve Austin. The Packers, not allowed to do it. On top of that, you see what they're wearing on Sunday?
I did see that.
They're wearing all white uniforms. Racist. Very racist.
You know who else is head to toe in white?
Who?
Ku Klux Klan.
So true. The entire state of Wisconsin, all white.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
It's going to look like a rally.
Right. It's going to look like a rally, 100%. I wonder if Kyle Rittenhouse is going to be there, to be perfectly honest. Also, the Texans, unlike the Packers, the Texans, they're going to be wearing all Navy, respecting the troops. Mm. Hashtag go Navy. So this is really a battle of good and evil on Sunday between the Texans and the Packers. I mean, the Packers are sacrilegious communists who just employed a kicker who settled out of court for sexual assault allegations on that Jaguars fun-ass plane, I guess, where they're just ripping weed vape pens and getting absolutely plastered on that thing. Bad. Bad people.
Bad guys.
Very bad guys. So, now you know. It is Gallant and George, no Joe, just Paul, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 97.5. A question. What game's more exciting for you on this weekend? Is it the Texans game against the Packers? Or is it a Texas-Georgia game that I feel like is living in the past? I'll explain how that comes to be next. First, let me tell you about my friends at MyBookie and MyBookie.ag. You enter promo code BET975. When you enter that promo code, they are going to double your first deposit right away. And you can use it to bet on so many different things. You want to bet on blackjack and poker with live dealers? You can't. But you want to bet tonight on Thursday Night Football. Thursday Night Football! At what point in the game was Al Michaels going to act like he doesn't want to be there? Because this game is a mess. You see all the guys who are missing? The Saints are going to be down Chris Olave. They're going to be down one of their other top wide receivers. And they're going to be down Derek Carr for this game as Sean Payton, I guess, potentially gets a tribute video or something like that. We'll see. This game between the Broncos and Saints, it's in New Orleans. And taking a look at the line right now, the Broncos are 3-point favorites. I guess Bo Nix can always F things up. And the Broncos are going to be without Patrick Surtain, probably the best corner in the NFL, arguably the best corner in the NFL. You would think that they would be able to stifle a Saints offense that's going to be throwing Spencer Rattler out there again. I'm taking the Broncos tonight by 3. And guess what? Since it's a free boost Thursday, you can bet without a sweat. If your bet hits, you win. If it doesn't, MyBookie will refund your wager. So why not play with that Thursday Night Football game? It's MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.ag.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Yeah, I think Jordan is a great dude. You know, I think he, you know, he's a great quarterback. He's definitely a friend of mine and somebody who, you know, I look up to. And I think the way he's handled his career has just been very professional and, you know, just always has a good attitude, you know, waited his turn. And, you know, for him to be able to, you know, be able to play the way he's playing now, especially off an injury, I think it's just super dope.
So C.J. Stroud looks up to Packers quarterback Jordan Love. But just because you look up to someone doesn't mean you can't bring them to the side and offer them a little bit of advice. Now, someone texted in the last segment. We were talking about all the bad dudes on the Green Bay Packers. They have Brandon McManus. They're sacrilegious with their team slogan. And on top of that, they're wearing all white on Sunday. Catfish 317 brings up on the Twitch, unlike the hero of the Texans offense, Joe Mixon, .. Well, hey, Joe Mixon has C.J. Stroud in his life. C.J. Stroud is a leader of men. And C.J. Stroud, he can help Joe Mixon find the divine path. Can Jordan Love do that? Is he going to be able to help this kicker, Brandon McManus? I don't know. We have a question asked here. Would y'all rather have Deshaun Watson struggle for the Browns forever or have him do good and meet the Texans in the AFC game and beat the Browns bad? So let Watson struggle. Let him do good and meet H-Town in the AFC championship. Here's the thing. I don't even want the possibility of Deshaun Watson beating the Texans again. I want him to continue to suck and eventually just be out of the league. That's really what I want. It's a shame that the Texans no longer have any Browns draft picks to play with. Thank you for your service, Nick Caserio, with the trade that you made. I can't believe they got as much as they did. And I really can't believe Watson's been as bad as he was. Watson used to be good. I don't know if he was the MVP when the team was 4-12. That seemed ridiculous.
It was ridiculous.
But he was good, Sean. He was good.
I recently saw... I think it was tweeted out as... like a, oh my God, what happened to Deshaun Watson? But the Bills-Texans game, the playoff game from the 2019 season where he's like moving out of the pocket, he's making things happen,
right.
And then he runs for the touchdown where he gets like two different Bills players hit him at the 5 and he still scores a touchdown where it's like, this guy is gone. Like, that guy is not the same person that takes snaps for the Browns now.
Yeah, remember his second game ever against the Bengals, where he ran for a touchdown. And he was doing some really impressive stuff in his rookie season against the Patriots. They looked actually competent. He had a couple of turnovers. There was that game against the Seahawks, which was the same day as Game 5 of the World Series in 17, where he was great. He had a couple of interceptions. One got taken back to the house. But considering all that was going on leading up to that game, he was really good for a while. But, man, he has just fallen off of a cliff. And maybe he needs C.J. Stroud to give him a little advice.
Yeah.
Honestly. Yeah. Really, he really needs C.J. Stroud to give him advice, honestly.
On the field, off the field, no matter what.
If Deshaun Watson can change, we can all change. And that would be...
I don't know if he can change, though. That's
too late?
That's the thing.
It's too late for me, my son. So, this is a great weekend of football. NFL has a bunch of really good games, but the big game everyone's looking forward to in college football this weekend is Texas and Georgia. Number one team in the country in Texas. A sus number two team in Georgia. This does look like quite the fun game, just given how good Georgia's been the last couple of years and how awesome Texas has looked to open up the year. I mean, Quinn Ewers played like dog doo-doo Saturday against Oklahoma, and they still won that game convincingly. It was never even close to in doubt. That might be more about Oklahoma than it is about Texas, but Texas has been really impressive to open the year. I'm not that excited for this game. Here's why. I think Georgia's fraudulent this year, and I think it's because of their quarterback. We've all watched Carson Beck a little bit this year, right? Can you believe this guy was the Heisman frontrunner going into the year? I can't. I still can't. And right now, I mean, I know that the Colorado Buffaloes are not even a ranked team, but Travis Hunter, just given what he's doing on both sides of the ball, if Charles Woodson can win the Heisman, I feel like Travis Hunter should, just given all he does. But okay, maybe you don't give it to him. How is Beck the leader going into the year? I've never really understood it. I mean, if you're Georgia, who would you rather have for this game on Saturday? Would you rather have Stetson Bennett, or would you rather have Carson Beck? I think that's a no-brainer. Like, Stetson Bennett, do you have any eligibility left? Bring him back.
I mean, he still didn't graduate, so.
There you go. Okay.
That's one of my favorite stories, that Stetson Bennett was at Georgia for like 6 years and didn't graduate. I think Beck's in an interesting spot where he played well against Alabama after it was already – it didn't end up being over, but after they're down four touchdowns, that's when he started. And, like, we all watch football. Like, we know that the defense is playing with a different energy when they're starting the game, when the game's close, versus when it's a four-touchdown deficit.
Exactly. At least at first, I imagine, hey, it was Alabama taking their feet off the gas. But, and Beck deserves credit for being able to continue that, for sure. I'm not saying he's bad, but I do think he's overrated. And I do think that he is the reason that I'm looking at this Texas-Georgia game, and I think Texas is going to win convincingly.
Yeah, the one thing with Beck is even if we are knocking him, or we're not calling him like presumptive number one pick or Heisman Trophy kind of guy, he still is going to be the best passer, the best quarterback, actually just the best quarterback, that the Texas defense has faced.
Interesting, okay.
And they just haven't faced anyone. I mean, against Oklahoma.
You don't think he's one of the top quarterbacks they'll face?
No. The Michigan game, they didn't. The Mississippi State, Michael Van Buren, I don't know. He seems fine. He looked good last week against Georgia, which is maybe not a good thing for Georgia, that the true freshman Mississippi State quarterback looked good against them last week. But, and then you have like the UTSA quarterback, the UL Monroe quarterback. Like, it really hasn't been these awesome quarterbacks that Texas faced. So Beck is going to be a step up from that, like, no matter what he does. But you are right that he doesn't seem like the kind of guy that goes into another stadium and throws it 60 times and wins.
I really want to see what Kirby Smart does this game, too. Did you see the video of Kirby Smart just shoving?
Yeah, that's the guy, Michael Van Buren.
Michael Van Buren?
Yeah, yeah. The Mississippi State quarterback.
Yeah.
Couldn't stop him, so Kirby had to get his hands on him.
There's something about him this year where
it just seems off. I mean, even, and this really like doesn't have a ton to do with on the field, but even like the off the field stuff, it's just like they when they were winning national championships, they weren't having guys getting arrested every week. Like, that, at a certain point, it is just as simple as that, where it's like, why are guys getting arrested all the time? Like, they're still really good. This is still a Georgia team that, like, I wouldn't be surprised if they won on Saturday. But it is a little bit of, like, what's going on with these guys? And then you mix that in with Kirby pushing the quarterback on Saturday, which, by the way, I don't think it's, like, a huge deal. I think it's a apologize, put out a statement, and maybe get a fine from the university and just keep it moving. Like, this is not Woody Hayes here. Like, this is the, like, he just pushed a guy. I don't think it's the biggest deal in the world. But at a certain point, it's like, there's such a lack of discipline from the top down on Georgia's roster that's what's most surprising to me.
And it's why he's not Nick Saban.
Yeah, why no one's Nick Saban.
No one is Nick Saban. But I mean, it always felt like Alabama had all of this stuff cleaned up.
They did everything right.
Right. Like, I'm trying to think of, like, hey, Alabama player doing something bad. You know, especially compared to who Nick Saban sort of took the gauntlet of best college football coach from Urban Meyer, right?
Yeah. Look out. I mean, normally how these things go is that, like, the team on – or not normally, but there's a lot of high-profile cases where the awesome team on top was the 1980s Miami Hurricanes.
Yeah.
Oh, where it's like these guys are getting busy off the field. And that's the same thing with Florida, and it looks like Georgia's in the same mold, and Alabama's kind of the exception to that rule.
A couple of comments on the Twitch. This has to do with the Heisman conversation. Some are suggesting Boise State running back Ashton Jeanty, is that how you say the last name, should be up there. Look, his numbers are incredible.
He should 100% be at the ceremony.
But, okay, they're in the Pac-12, but they're basically an independent.
And no, they're in the Mountain West.
They're in the Mountain West. Okay. Yeah. They're in the Pac-12 going forward, right?
Yes.
Okay, got it. I feel like that's going to get held against him.
Yeah.
I bet he gets to New York.
He gets to New York without a doubt. And maybe, hey, if none of these quarterbacks step up.
Yeah, maybe it won't be any quarterback.
Yeah, maybe it can be him and Hunter, or between him and Hunter.
I mean, right now, I would say it's probably those are the two you're putting up. I don't know what quarterback to put there. You were sucked on Saturday. Beck is not what everyone's making him out to be. I don't think Sanders is on a good enough team, Shedeur Sanders, to be in that conversation either. So, I mean, it's probably between those two. I will agree with the Twitch and that he should be higher up, but I feel like it'll get held against him that he's in a nondescript conference where they're not playing anyone big, even though it's still Boise State. Like, we respect Boise State in the same way we respect Gonzaga in college basketball.
Yeah.
But they're still, you know, not playing the best competition.
You watch his runs, and he looks incredible, but in the back of your mind, you are like, well, yeah, he's stiff-arming a Utah State defender. Like, that's just going to be different if he's playing in the Big Ten. Dylan Gabriel's probably the quarterback we should mention. Coming off beating Ohio State last week, played really well. Dylan Gabriel, if the Ducks win the Big Ten, will probably be in will probably be in New York. And now, you need one of the SEC quarterbacks to step up. That's kind of what it is that, you know, Milroe hasn't really looked very good since the first half of the Georgia game. You have Nico Iamaiolava, the Tennessee quarterback, who hasn't looked really good. Jackson Dart has two losses. Thanks for coming out, buddy. Nussmeier at LSU. Maybe if Nussmeier really strings together some games here, maybe he can get there. But yeah, the SEC quarterback or SEC player really hasn't stepped out in the way that we thought he would.
No, you're right on that front. I mean, Jalen Milroe.
Maybe if Ewers plays like unconscious good, then he can get in there. But he still missed games and has
to start on Saturday.
Has a clunker. Yeah.
For sure.
100%.
Yeah.
I 100% agree with you. I'm just saying that no one's really taken it and run with it away from him.
I totally agree with you on that front. Galan and George, no Joe, just Paul with Sean behind the glass. Let's run through. Do we want to pay any attention to what's going on in baseball? Last night at the, I was hanging out with the Peltry Action Committee folks afterwards, and I saw the Dodgers were stuffing the Mets. They take a 2-1 series lead in the National League Championship Series, and this afternoon, I think 4:00, it's Yankees and Guardians game 3. The Yankees are, I think, going to win that series in 5. Let's do another episode of Baseball Today this afternoon, this week.
This is Baseball Today, this afternoon, this week.
Again, I think these series are kind of over. and I'm dreading the inevitable Yankees-Dodgers World Series. I don't want to watch it. Do I have to watch it if all of the country is watching it for the first time in a really long time? I can't believe Joe George said this guy is washed. John Sterling, broadcaster for the New York Yankees, who retired in the middle of the year but is back for the postseason. This guy's the best. You're just wrong if you think otherwise. Here's John Sterling on the call of a Yankees base running mishap in game number, I believe, one.
The 0-2, a bouncer, and Rizzo is going to be picked off. He's in the middle between second and third. Hedges now throws to second, on the way to third, back to second, back to third, tagged out, end of inning. Boy, if that wasn't the Yankees, that's what they do, run the bases like drunks.
Incredible.
Well, Glaber will lead off the next inning.
And they just transition. So. Well done. Where's Susan Waldman there?
Oh, I agree. I agree, John. They're so drunk on the base paths.
I think I heard a chuckle from Waldron there, but yeah.
I'm drunk here, too, because the Yankees don't have to play the Astros in this ALCS. John, did you go to a bodega this afternoon? I did. I got an espresso teeny. I'm rolling, baby. Like the Yankees on the base pass.
The voice changed a little.
Did it? I don't know.
It changed a little bit, but it went into a fun direction.
We're workshopping. We're workshopping Susie Waldman's voice. God, I hate the Yankees. They're so corny, too. This was before the series. This is Aaron Boone talking about Cleveland Guardians player Jose Ramirez.
Aaron, what makes Jose Ramirez such a good player?
Well, I mean, he's the complete package. You know, I get on people all the time. If I hear another how underappreciated, underrated he is from somebody on a network or something, I want to rip my arms off and throw it at the TV. He's not underappreciated. He's not underrated. He's a great, on a Hall of Fame track player, and everybody knows it, including all of us sitting out here. Like, you know, switch hitter, power, great base runner, great defender at third. Like, he's a great all-around player. Period. And, you know, he creates some problems. So hopefully we can keep him quiet enough. But I think he has the utmost respect from everyone in the game and very much is not underrated.
Ramirez is 1-for-8 in this series, though he does have a home run in the game 2 loss for the Cleveland Guardians. Here's the thing, Aaron. No one pays attention to the Cleveland Guardians. No one knows who's on their team. This is new for everybody. So that's why people say he's underrated, because no one has effing heard of him.
Also, the question wasn't, is he underrated? The question is, how good is he? Like, he just, yeah. It was a classic. Like, I just want to, I have run out of things to say, so now I'll just get mad at someone for no reason, even though you didn't ask me the question I'm mad about.
Yeah.
That, yeah. Also, rip your arms off and throw them at the TV.
That's not possible physically.
Yeah,
you can't physically.
Like,
do
even
that. You'd have to kick them.
Even
you'd have
if
to
you
kick
could
them
rip your own arms off.
Yeah, how would you rip them both off too? Yeah, you'd have to have somebody
one
do
at
it
a time
for you,
yeah.
And then you'd have to have somebody toss them for you.
It just makes no sense.
Come on, Aaron, what are you doing? Another annoying Yankee soundbite. This is Aaron Judge talking about a home run that he had. The Yankees are getting some of these cheap ass home runs. They had one. Was it Giancarlo Stanton who hit one to right field? It was right in the exact spot where, you know, it's an out in all other 29 ballparks. Whatever. Hey, it's pretty easy in left field for the Astros. But this is Aaron Judge. God, he sucks. Ugh.
Hi, Aaron. What were your emotions as you went around the bases?
What's up, Ed? I was excited. Went out. You know, you never know on these windy, chilly nights what that ball's going to do when you hit the center here. But the Ghosts were pulling it out there to Monument Park, that's for sure. But to add two more runs, you know, trying to keep Weaver out of the game there, you know, try to save him for game 3 a little bit. But no, just happy to add a couple more runs.
The Ghosts were bringing it out to center field at Monument Park. Oh, my God. I hate this team. I hate them. I hate them so much.
That's, like, such a Yankee. Like, I am pandering to Yankees fans.
100%. So that people will forget that I have been absolute doo-doo for the majority of my time playing for the Pinstripes in the postseason.
Yeah.
But, I had the seventh most home runs in American League history.
In MLB.
MLB history. My bad. He has the American League record. Forgot about that.
It's not that ridiculous. No,
still ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. But yeah, the Yankee. I don't know.
I hate them.
But both these series, it is. Just
I'd root for the Dodgers. I'm saying it right now. I saw another clip too. By the way, some Dodgers fans were being very Dodgers fans, doing the bumping into people while dancing and then trying to start fights. Like this one guy, I saw a video. Guy bumps into a fan, and the fan turns around like, "What the hell?" And the guy wanted to keep going. And some other Dodger fan, shout out to him, played Mother Teresa here and de-escalated the situation. But as terrible as Dodgers fans are, I cannot see the Yankees win. I can't have it, especially in a year where the Astros didn't even get to play them.
Yeah.
At least the Yankees did kick the bleep out of the Astros in the regular season, but I would like to have seen this in the postseason.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I don't know. It is just two underwhelming series, too, where even, like, the Mets are, I don't know, like, I can't really not root for the Mets, but I can't fully support what the Mets are all about with, like, oh, we have the song, and we have Grimace. And we have Hawktua Girl. It's like, you have so many bits at a certain point, like, what are we doing, guys? Like, just play baseball. How about that? Just play baseball, and you wouldn't get blown out every other night.
I would like to see them bring the Monument Park back to center field, and I also want Towels Hill back.
Yeah.
By the way, something I just saw from Michael Schwab, Minute Maid Park might be changing its name. Yeah.
Whoa.
It might be changing its name.
That's crazy.
Rumor is, per Michael Schwab, it's going to be changed to Daikin Park for 2025 and beyond. It's the world's largest air conditioning manufacturer.
Oh, well.
I mean, if it makes the air conditioning better, I am here for it.
Yeah.
They have one job. Sean, I went to a school where they played in a stadium that was nicknamed after air conditioning, the Carrier Dome at Syracuse University, and there was no air conditioning. So this could be a ploy, but I am a big fan of getting free air conditioning at that ballpark because it has been awful the last couple of years. So hopefully that's happening.
Yeah, if that happens, then I'm okay with it. Minute Maid Park is, I mean, it is, it's, a, I think it reached the point, at least locally, where you just think of it as Minute Maid Park, not that it's a sponsored stadium.
Right. Not, and it's not Enron Field anymore.
Not Enron Field. I was about to say it's the only name it's ever had, and then I stopped myself because I forgot about Enron Field. But yeah, it kind of did reach the point where you forget that it's like Staples Center, where you just forgot that, oh yeah, Staples Center is like the office store, the office supply store. Where Minute Maid, you're like, oh yeah, I guess it's the people selling us juice.
And by the way, speaking of ghosts.
Yeah.
An Astros ghost had some hot takes on the state of the Houston Astros and what they'll do next. Dusty Baker, interesting thoughts on one, things that he didn't get while he was here, and two, what he expects them to do going forward. You'll hear them next. Galan and George. Papa coming up next. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.